One more hit here.
Well, you know, Bruce said what I needed to do when I came here today was to, hang on one more time here, hit this key one more. It's called, I'm technically challenged this early in the morning. There we go. He said I needed to jolt you awake. So one of the things I thought we'd do is start off with a little background music here. Maybe. Now, I'm not saying you had too much wine last night, but, you know, my topic, unfortunately, is not about drunken sailors, but about what shall we do with an aging LIS. And when Bruce asked me to talk about this, you know, I told him at my age that was something I could personally relate to. You know. But you know, what I really like to do is talk about not only what you can do to extend the life of your current system, but if you're one of those people who are faced with the task of replacing your existing LIS, what are things you need to think about to ensure that replacement happens in the most effective manner? But before I start, what I'd like to do is take a quick survey of the audience. How many have an LIS and they're happy with it? It's doing exactly what it needs to do for your institution. See those hands out there? We only got one. Two. Well, you can leave. You won't learn anything from this presentation at all. Okay. How many plan to replace your current system? Well, vendors, take those names down real quick. How many don't have an LIS? Well, where have you been all these years? How many have an LIS that needs some help? Good. You guys can stay. And more important, how many have a system that's over 10 years old? Wow. Well, you're in good company. I just did a quick survey. There are over 1,800 systems that are installed that are over 10 years old. I think that's quite a credit to the vendors who have kept their systems updated. It's also maybe because nobody has any budgets to replace them. So what I like to do is talk a bit about the driving forces that are forcing change, or whether you need to replace your existing LIS, or whether what you can do is find some tools to help extend its life. And those forces really relate to internal and external. From the internal standpoint, you know, is your IS department setting new strategies? Are you implementing a new EMR? Are you under pressures to do more with less? Is your system slowing down? Those are kind of internal forces. From the external standpoint, are you considering an active outreach program? Or do you have one and the competition is forcing you to do things differently? Are there new regulations that you need to comply with? You know, HIPAA is the start of something new and unfortunately frightening that will be more and more regulations that will be forced upon laboratories as we move forward. Another issue may be, has your system been sunsetted? Or has the support for your system significantly started to decline? So I'd like to look a bit closer at some of these factors. Is your IS department saying, well, you've got an old system. It's not GUI. It doesn't have Oracle or relational databases. It's not object-related. It isn't web-based. It's not client-server. It isn't written in a current programming language. Has your IS department standardized and said it's got to run on Oracle, it's got to be on ABC hardware, and it's got to be Oracle? Well, they may be things that are forcing you to change. But you may be lucky. You may have an LIS that simply moving to a current hardware platform will enable you to comply with some of those standards and keep your IS department happy for a little while. But what I found is replacing an LIS just because it's deficient in technology is typically not adequate justification for replacing the system. Many institutions are also trying to reduce the number of disparate systems that they have to support, the number of interfaces they have to put together, the internal staff, the cost of required in-house expertise by standardizing on one or two or three vendors and systems. Economies of scale can be met by using common operating platforms. Economies of scale can be met by using common databases and common communication protocols. If your old LIS is incompatible with these standards, it may be complicate your ability to create a comprehensive electronic medical record. But you may not have to replace it in order to meet those standards. That's kind of things I like to talk about. But you may be those institutions where the organization has said, we're going to have a single vendor, and we don't care what you want to do in the lab. That's never happened. Anybody has it? Well, in that case, if you're forced to move, there's things I think you need to consider before you go to that path to make sure it works the way it needs to work in your organization. You know, at the same time, implementing an EMR is probably consuming a large component of the budget of your organization, and there's no money left to work on your LIS. Does this look familiar? Yeah, other internal factors maybe include the requirement to improve quality and reduce the error rate. This may include reviewing solutions to mitigate the potential of errors as well as enhance your existing quality assurance programs. A system that can be easy to use, going to a GUI base, may not always be the most productive. I talked to many labs and said, gee, I wish I was back to my old line-at-a-time terminal system. It worked faster, less keystrokes, so I didn't have to worry about this stupid thing called a mouse. You know, I could actually enter a rec in 10 seconds instead of a minute and a half. So looking at going strictly to a GUI may not be the sole answer. Yes, it may make your users happier, but it may not be the most productive solution. Can your current system integrate successfully with automation? For many older systems, it's a nightmare waiting to happen. But fortunately, as we heard yesterday, there's many middleware solutions that are available to help mitigate that. Acceptable performance, system response time, report printing time, speed of instruments, other interfaces, may also be a major component in looking and forcing you towards a replacement. Does the system have the ability to provide adequate turnaround times to meet the needs of your clients? How often is it down? Does this have a severe impact on servicing your clients? On the other hand, going out and buying a new system that may be down an hour a month to replace a system that's down only 6 hours a month may not be adequate justification either. So let's look at some of these external factors. Do you have or are you planning to have an outreach program? What I'm finding is many, many people are being forced by pressures from their clients to do things because their competitors are saying, gee, I can do this neat thing. EuroCore comes along with this neat report with pictures on it. Some of your clients say, oh, I'm going to go to EuroCore because I like the pictures. You got to go put pictures on reports. So suddenly you need to do something different in your information system. Do they want web access to your results? They want to see part tables and Gleason scores on your AP reports. Do you need a system to manage your couriers suddenly? Because that's costing a lot of money. Gas went up. Now you have the most effective routing to save some of that gas money. Adds up really fast. Do you have adequate management reports to determine whether your business is profitable? Many of these factors play a part in do you need to replace your existing system or can I find a tool that will fill that hole for me? Regulatory issues such as the new Medicare rules, need to print ABNs, HIPAA transaction sets, other compliance issues are also areas that having an LIS that no longer may meet your needs are putting pressures on you. Many vendors don't care. They say, why should I put any money on something that's not going to give me a return? And aren't interested in making those changes, especially when they come to standards for information exchange or functionality that they're not interested in adding. So you got to look at other sources. You may need to start producing biosurveillance data for your local health agency. In order to do that, you've got to standardize and codify that data so it's consistent. That's going to require implementing some new standards. And there may be solutions other than replacing your whole system to enable you to do that. Also, service and support of your LIS is probably crucial to the success of your system. Is it constantly down? By the way, that could also be applied to many brand new systems people are trying to install right now. So how responsive is your vendor? Is your vendor to system problems and responsible to requests for new features or custom changes? Has the system been sunsetted? That's one way to force you to change. Some vendors have found this the largest source of revenue opportunity for them. Sorry, vendors. But they'll sunset a system and force you to buy a new one, hopefully that you'll buy theirs. And another reason for looking at what happens if you have to replace your system. Also, I think, has your vendor gone out of business? Has your guru that's supporting it suddenly decided to retire or go to greener pastures? These are all issues I think I'd like to talk about today. Now, so what can you do about it? Other than blowing off steam, which I'm sure a lot of us would like to do, it might help lower your blood pressure, but there are some things that can help. One of the things that I believe strongly in, as simple as it seems, is no matter how small the task you're trying to do, the first thing you should do is look at project planning. If it's as simple as adding a new instrument, not simple, but it's, I'm going to add a new instrument, I'm going to add a new process, I'm going to add a new format for my client reports. I'm a strong believer, put it into a project plan. Project planning should include developing a team, implementing a communication process, implementing a ways to manage all the documentation that's going to get produced and sharing that documentation, and a tracking mechanism to evaluate progress. There's plenty of tools. Project happens to be one. There's a lot. If you don't want to spend the money on Microsoft and Bill Gates' pocket, there's plenty that are available free of charge on the web, including many collaborative products that will enable you to share success, share documents on the web for free. So if you need to communicate progress, need to communicate information amongst your team, there are many tools that are there to do that. I think the next step is to catalog what your needs are. Once you've got a list of what I'm trying to do and what my needs are, no matter what the task is, whether it's replacing an entire LIS, setting up an outreach program, or just creating a new report format, you and your staff can start doing some prioritization. And more important, you can start doing things other than, what do I need to do that my current system doesn't do now? You know, we've heard a lot about Lean, Six Sigma, workflow analysis. Even if you don't want to go through a full black belt process, do a pink belt. Okay. Take a look at what's going on in your workflow. Find out where are the bottlenecks. Find out, how can I do it better? Sometimes doing nothing more than changing the process can significantly improve productivity without even impacting on what your software is doing. I also believe that once you've defined your needs, you should also define what benefits should you look at. Each of the goals should have specific objectives. Those objectives should be able to be evaluated on an objective manner with metrics. You shouldn't say, I want to improve physician productivity. You should say, I want to improve physician satisfaction by X percent. Then have a means to document what it is today and have a means to measure how you met that goal and when you met that goal. Once you've done that, I think the most important thing is to take an inventory of what exists in your current system. You know, Robert Michelle talked a bit about that. The systems are being underutilized. Systems, people don't know what they have in the current system. And people who don't do that and start replacing a system find that they are in deep trouble. Dr. Aller has documented some really interesting case studies about what really happened with institutions who replaced their system and didn't conduct a review of what they did today. I think one's kind of interesting. First is a large teaching hospital. It had implemented LIS to serve a pretty much an indigent population of people. System was maintained by a local clinical scientist and his team of programmers, medical technologists. And they kept the system running for almost 20 years. They had a couple upgrades during that 20-year process. System worked fine. the hospital management decided it was time to implement a new system. So they went out to typical RFP process and acquired a brand new LIS. But a vendor who had lots of experience in installing large, complex systems, hundreds and hundreds of systems that are installed. But the user did not understand the complexity of the needs for integration, what their existing system enabled them to do to modify that system to meet their unique workflow needs, and didn't have the tools for them to do the work they needed to do. So the system got installed. They did some pre-testing. It seemed to work fine. System went up, and it became a disaster. Interfaces didn't work. Data wasn't there when it wanted to do. They were adding to add more and more people. The system was not stable. Local papers ran stories about this fiasco, saying that patient care was potentially being compromised. It took them a year and Herculean efforts by the vendor and the laboratory to get this thing running at a so-so level. That's because they didn't go in before they went in and understand what their current systems were doing before they went and replaced it. Another example, once again from Dr. Aller. Regional hospital, a commercial lab that needed an LIS. They had a clinical pathologist who had taken a vendor's system and highly modified it to meet the unique needs of that organization. Pathologists, as many of our age and ilk, have decided to retire and move on. Even though he had trained a staff to maintain it and keep going on with it, the owners decided, well, we're just going to replace it. Can't be that big a deal. Contracted with a vendor to do that. And installed it and watched it crash. Why did it crash? The system had many, many rules. We hear all about rules that were built into that system that people didn't know about, that weren't cataloged. They had personalized the services that they gave to all their clients. So when Dr. Smith wanted their report to look like this, and Dr. Jones wanted it to look like this, and Dr. Williams wanted it to look like this, they'd done that. Okay. But nobody had cataloged all those things. So they turned the system on, and guess what happened? They lost 50% of their clients in the first 6 months. The business turned into a disaster. It's taken them over 2 years now. They're kind of limping along. They've managed to retain the base they had, and they're starting to rebuild now. But the moral is very simple. Make sure you understand what you have today before you go forward. A new LIS is not going to contain the knowledge that's in your current system. The rules, the customization, the report formats, you really need to understand what they are before you move forward. I think the most important is, in many cases, users are not taking advantage of what their current capability system. I go into many sites, and we start an inventory of what do you have and what are you doing with your system. And I'm just amazed at how little functionality of existing systems are actually being used. Dennis Winston, in a recent article, referred to these as hidden software features. They're hidden because whoever installed the system 10 years ago forgot that it was there, or the vendor never bothered telling you that it was there in the first place. Talk to your vendor. Have them come back in and re-demonstrate the system you have. Okay. Have them help you in your needs analysis. You will be flabbergasted on what you really have already. There may be LFA, many of the unused capabilities of your current system. Now, let me give you an example. One of my clients was ready to scrap their existing system. They were firmly convinced they couldn't use that system to build a new aggressive outreach program. And they started going out in the process of doing an RFP to buy a new system, and they actually had me come in and try to start that process. I said, well, let's stop. Let's do this process. Let's see what you have. What we actually found was their current LIS had an extensive rules capabilities that they never used. They had not one rule in their system. So we were able to create rules that were client-specific rule sets to enable them to go out and effectively compete in an active, aggressive outreach environment, to buy a third-party lab portal to give their clients access to results. And because this particular LIS did not really have good data management, data extraction tools, and had none that actually would allow them to determine if they were profitable or not, or the kinds of reports you need to run a successful outreach laboratory, they were able to go acquire statistical reporting extraction tools to create the kinds of reports that they needed to run a successful outreach operation. One of the other things you may also want to look at is, do you have the most current system? Find out what the next version of your product is, as simple as that may sound. What new features are out there that you didn't plan to do because you weren't thinking about it? Also, talk to your users groups. The client I talked about actually found the most cost-effective web portal solution by talking to other users and found a solution that had been implemented by many of the other users of that LIS that worked well and then integrated really well and ended up being the low-cost solution. Okay. I've also found many of you, I'm sure, have developed workarounds, okay, for the holes or deficiencies in your system, processes and procedures. Everyone's got one. It may be as simple as the yellow sticky tag that says, never do this for Dr. Jones or she'll kill us. Or it may be a whole process that you've implemented because your LIS can't do something. Don't overlook using processes. Okay? It amazes me how many labs have implemented creative workarounds that are practical, economic, and productive. So, after you've done an inventory, you should start looking at your options. Okay? And I believe that replacing your system with a new LIS should not be your first option. Yes, I understand that you may have a corporate strategy in some organizations that say you must replace. And I don't care whether it does everything your current system has or not, you're going to get this crammed down your throat. Well, in that case, you still should be prepared and take that inventory and make sure that that migration can be mitigated to most effective use. Okay. But your current LIS vendor or third-party software vendors, as we'll hear throughout this week, may have supplementary hardware and or application software modules that can increase the capabilities of your existing system, removing the need for a major system replacement. You know, obviously, anytime you look at this, you've got to look at the cost justification. Because it may be that adding on 15 different modules and the integration issues and the support issues involved in doing all that may be less cost effective than replacing a whole system. Okay. Whatever you do, make sure you go through that cost justifications. Okay. Now, so let's look at what are the sources for functionality that can be added to an existing system. Last year, Bruce and I presented the concept of something we called a slam. And it's not a slam dunk or something that happens in basketball, but it's a term that we coined called supplemental laboratory application module. Over the past year, there have been many, and I'm amazed how many additional vendors have entered into this fray. By my count, 113 new vendors since last year have entered products that fall into this category of supplemental laboratory applications. They cover a gamut of areas. One area is quality control and quality assurance. Okay. And this could include things such as standardizing all your QC processes into one database from many, many different physical facilities if you're in a multi-hospital network, from many, many instruments, so you have one common access to all the quality control parameters and quality assurance processes. And you can specify your quality objectives and be alerted in real time when these objectives are not being met. So you don't have to go look at each individual Levy Jennings chart for each individual site, for each individual instrument. You can go one place and look at it at a high level and start managing your quality control processes. Many products also provide for peer comparison. How are you doing compared to the hospital down the street? How are you doing compared to all the other 200-bed hospitals in this country? Be nice to know. Some also add what I call a quality assurance component. Being able to do competency testing, being able to do preventative maintenance, being able to document and manage your whole documentation process. In other words, is my procedure manual up to date? When do I need to update it? Who last reviewed it? Keeping those procedure manuals available online and managing that whole documentation process. Companies in this area, it just flabbergasts me. Every month, somebody else seems to enter in this fray. People like WestGuard, of course, have been there quite a long time, but there's companies like Athlacon, you know, Softech, InterQC, the names go on and on. Even the CAP, the CAP, College of American Pathology, decided to enter into the fray and have a product called eLab, which does a lot of this. A lot of the vendors that are demonstrating products today also have solutions in this arena. Okay. Another area that's related to quality and error reduction is positive patient identification. Barcoding the patients, barcoding the specimens, tracking that, barcoding the patient at the bedside, all the handheld devices that have suddenly appeared in the horizon. Almost all of the major LIS vendors have their own solution. But there are many, many third-party alternatives, as well as alternatives from the major IVD vendors that can provide a solution in this arena, all of which have been well integrated, not just interfaced, but integrated with most of the LIS systems that are out there, including most of the legacy products. Lab portal software is also another area that a lot of talk has been talked about. You know, Robert Michel said in the 1998 to 2002, this is the big thing. Well, it's still big. But what I think what has changed is the way the offerings are being provided. They range from what I call an anorexic client. Instead of a fat client, they're anorexic. They're just a browser into the internet. All the way to very obese client-server environments where you need a gigantic PC in the physician's office to make it work. There are several models of where data is stored. Are they stored centrally in a database where data is sucked up from your LIS and put into a vendor system? Are they stored in a PC in the doctor's office? Are they stored not at all, but in real time, queried from multiple lab systems and presented in a transient view in a browser? Doesn't matter what the architecture is. These products are now becoming a requirement for many people to be able to market their services in an outreach environment. But what's happened is the vendors have found they can now add additional capabilities to these products that make it more attractive to the laboratory to offer their services, including things like providing online test catalogs, being able to process client service requests, being able to handle requests for inventory, for pap tests, for pap smear kits, whatever, more than just ordering tests and presenting results. So they're looking at getting more cost effectiveness and more productivity out of these tools. I think more interesting is the announcement from Quest. Quest just very recently announced that as part of their lab portal, their clients can not only correlate test results, but also medication data through their portal. They can also order pharmacy tests, pharmacy drugs from their local pharmacy for their patients through Quest's lab portal. Is this something that you're all going to have to do soon? Who knows? But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. Could be next year, all of the lab portal vendors will now also be offering pharmacy orders and being able to do lab drug interaction at the physician's desktop. Who knows? You know, companies in this arena include every major LIS vendor that's out there, plus all the companies that are here exhibiting today, Atlas, MyTem, CareEvolve, MDON, LabTelcor, and many, many, many others. I did an inventory of who is in the physician office lab business, the physician office lab link business. There's a survey that's done every year by the CAP, which includes a lot of them, but there's still a lot left. By my count, there were 57 vendors in this arena. 4 years ago, there were 22. But I believe the area where there's the most immediate return on investment, the most immediate way that you can improve the efficiency of your laboratory, is those SLAMs that are targeted to meet the needs of the business component of your lab. These include courier and fleet management. They include specimen management and tracking, both front-end, back-end storage and retrieval. As we heard yesterday, the return on investment for just managing the retrieval of specimens to add on a test to an existing specimen is incredible. Client services tools that help you manage your calls, that track calls that come into your help desk. Resource schedulers, who's going to work when? Okay, managing your fleets of trucks and other things that can aid in determining the profitability of your laboratory. People who are running an outreach suddenly need to talk about more than just delivering quality results. They need to know who is just sending me the Medicaid tests and the good stuff's going to Quest. Because I need to do one of two things. I need to send that sales guy out there to talk to him or tell him I don't want his business unless it's being forced on me. Who keeps ordering those 15 PAP test kits every month and never sends me a PAP? That's happened to you, right? Okay. But it doesn't sound like a lot, but if you add up all these things over 2 or 3 years, there's an incredible amount of money. Incredible. Now, and there are tools out there that can provide you, even for an existing system, the ability to generate these reports, even if your existing system doesn't know what a client is. And there are some of those out there. So there's vendors in this area that some of you probably never heard of. It's SalesLogic. That's a vendor that typically provides help desk kinds of things. But they've implemented call management tools, help desk tools, tracking processes in many a laboratory. BioStorage, Item Tracker, Medical Courier, Lab Assist, Telcor, who's here today, and many others. Okay. New arenas that are impacting labs we've heard yesterday include molecular diagnostics and consumer-directed healthcare. Okay. Legacy LISs probably will never have the ability to implement data structures to handle the massive needs of molecular diagnostics. So integration into third-party products will be the only solution. And we'll see in the next couple of years an emergence of many new products in this arena. I think the other area where we're going to see a tremendous boon is in consumer-directed healthcare, as Robert said yesterday. DAT and home testing will be placing new demands for storage and retrieval of consumer-directed testing. If you do DAT testing in your lab, patients are going to want to have access to that result. Okay, physicians are going to want to have access to those results. Tests that a patient produces for themselves in their home. It would be nice if the clinician had access to those results. It would be nice if the laboratorian had access to the results. But you need a tool to be able to get that data into a system. Okay, this represents an area where specialized SLAMs may be cost effective. I have read predictions that say this area can be considered to be point-of-care testing on steroids. In the next 2 years, the predictions are that there will be more than 200% growth in DAT testing and consumer-directed home testing. We've heard a lot about rules, and I really believe that rules are one of the most powerful tools available to the laboratory, both to reduce costs, to avoid costs, to improve productivity, and to improve quality of your results. One of the most common examples is reflexive testing. Okay. whereby abnormal results for one test automatically trigger another test. Sometimes frequently more expensive, but in many cases, what they do is serve to significantly reduce the turnaround time of the entire test process and provide clinical decision-making information to the physician in a much more effective manner. But the same process can also be used to cancel tests that don't need to be done. There's no need just to use a reflexive rule to just order a test. Why not use it to cancel tests that have no clinical impact? Okay. That they've been ordered just to order tests. Okay. Rules can also, as we talked yesterday, be used to trigger auto-verification and auto-validation. This has proven to me a major productivity improver. And I'm amazed how few laboratories actually have implemented auto-validation. In my experience, in many labs that have gone from no validation, no auto-validation, in other words, everything being done manually, and I'll give you an example, a lab that was doing about 1,500 requisitions a day, they were able to reduce, and then they had no plans to increase and go out and get any other business. They were able to reduce their full-time equivalent medical technologists from going to the traditional process and doing a re-engineering to do auto-validation by 24% just by implementing auto-verification. That's significant. But, you know, if your LIS doesn't have extensive rules capabilities, and there are some that they didn't know what a rule was when they built them, and they still don't, you're lucky. There's lots of people that can provide that capability. There's middleware solutions, vendors such as Data Innovations, Dawning, and most of the IVD vendors can do complex rules as part of their middleware solutions. But there's other companies, such as a new company called Mtuitive, that actually will allow you to implement a full rule set capability without having to have an instrument interface to do it. They can do rules for anything you want to do them for. They can set up full synoptic reporting for an AP system that doesn't know how to spell synoptic. They can add the kinds of auto rules that can start personalizing your delivery of medicine to your clients without you ever having an outreach solution to do it. So there are tools out there that enable you to significantly use rules even though your current LIS has no ability to do that. Okay. There's other vendors such as CodeMap and 3M that can provide updates to your ICD-9, CPT, LMRP data files. How many hours do you spend every month updating those local medical necessity rules? How much time does it take you to physically, every time the ICD-9 codes and CP codes change, go and have to change it in all the systems you need to change it to? Okay. There are vendors out there that can provide you files quarterly that can be imported directly into most LISs, totally removing the need for any manual intervention to key any of that data in. Another area that you can add some productivity to your laboratory. Other areas, you know, we talked about putting images and diagrams on pathology reports. Okay. A lot of the pathology systems have these capabilities, but there's also many third-party solutions that can enable you to add diagrams, pictures to your existing reports or take a report from your pathology system, add a picture to it, transmit it out or print it, however you want to deliver it to your client without having to replace your existing pathology system because your pathology system doesn't know how to spell image. Okay. The need to incorporate these kinds of images has kind of spawned a whole new breed of vendors, and there's a lot of them here today, Nikon, Tressel, Apollo, Ventana, and many others, all of whom can interact with your current systems seamlessly and provide you a solution in this arena. Other sources for options to help you extend the life of your system include, not because I am one, but there are some consultants out there that actually do work. And they can help you develop custom software. There's consultants who are experts in your legacy LIS that know what it really can do. It can help you implement some of those hidden features. A lot of these consulting firms also have access to software products, third-party products that are complementary to the services that they provide. I think more important, and this to me is the most exciting part of what's happened in the last 2 years. How many of you need a report that you can't get out of your current system? There's a few out there. Well, don't fret. There are now solutions that are very inexpensive that can extract data out of your current system and produce reports in just about any format you want to produce them. Okay, and they can do things to aggregate data, replicate data, convert it, load it from your LIS into a centralized database. They can gather it from disparate sources. They can look across multiple platforms and environments and collect data between both new and legacy systems. It's a whole new set of solutions. Some older systems, as many of which you have today, required somebody to go write some code to get data out of your system. So we have staff of programmers that wrote in some horrible childhood disease called mumps. Sorry. Let's see if you guys are awake or not. Now, there's also some vendors that are forcing their users to pay the vendor to write programs to extract data out of their system, claiming their database is proprietary. So if you want to convert data, if you're replacing their vendor system, or if you want to get data out of it to be able to do a management tool, there's some vendors out there that say, you can't touch our database. Well, guess what? You can now tell some of those vendors to go take a jumping leap because there are solutions available. Okay. There's companies such as Print Factory, which is kind of an interesting tool. If you can produce a report and print it to anything, Print Factory can extract data off of that report. They're called report scrapers. And they can put that data into just about any format you want to put it into. They can put it into external SQL format. They can put it into an Excel spreadsheet. They can put it into just about any format you want. So you can now start using that data without having to buy a $200,000 interface from one of your vendors to do that. Okay. Others such as Jakeda can do it by screen scraping. Okay. If you can't produce a report but you can display the data on a screen somewhere, they can get that data out of the system for you. There's also other vendors, such as a company called Pervasive, and there's many others. This is just an example that have an even more extensive ability. Okay, they can directly read and convert data from any file source. And if you look at these listings, I'm sure some of these are familiar. For those of you who have really, really old lab systems, or blood bank systems, or written in B-Treve, or some lab systems are written in FoxPro. Okay. And there's no way to get data out of those. Well, now there is. And these tools don't cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. These tools cost, are you ready? $1,000. And you can extract data out of whatever data you want, whatever database format you want, and format it with what they call a target connector. So you can move data from a FoxPro database directly into an Oracle 7 database or an Oracle 8 database without having to go through an interface to do it. Okay. Run the extractor, pull the data in, and suddenly you've got it. Okay. These tools can also extract data in a variety of transactional methods. So if you want to pull data out of an old system and send it to another system in HL7 format without having to buy an interface, you can do that too. Or if you're using a more modern technology and you're on .NET architecture and want to set XML data sets and data streams together, you can do that with these tools. Okay. You know, once data has been extracted, there's now a variety of tools available to generate those reports. Crystal Reports is one you've heard of, but there's many others. Jasper Reports, there's 50 or 60 other vendors in this market that allow you to quickly and easily and without needing a programming guru to do it, create those reports. Now, whether those reports are the reports you need to help manage your laboratory, to help you manage your quality control process, or it's because you have a client who insists on having that upside-down report that your LIS can't produce, but you really want that client, you can produce that report and, using other third-party tools, send that data to them in a variety of mechanisms, pagers, email, faxes, and others. Companies like Forward Advantage and many other companies out there provide tools to do exactly that without having you to buy it from your LIS vendor. Now, what if you need to interface to a system, but your vendor wants an arm, a leg, and your firstborn? Well, don't fret. There are other solutions available. There are... You know, as an example, you can create an interface using tools to extract data out of a MUMPS database, put it into an HL7 transaction, and suddenly you're there. Okay. There are also ways to create what I call interfaceless interfaces. Okay. A company here that's exhibiting today, Hillgrave, will enable you to actually pull data out of a physician office practice system into your LIS or into a lab portal in what they call uncooperative interfaces. I love that term. Okay. And it won't cost you that $100,000 that your LIS vendor wants for an interface. Okay. There's also many new standards that are coming about that many LIS vendors just aren't interested in complying with. But there are tools out there that allow you to convert data so that your data is consistent and compatible with being able to send it to biosurveillance databases and other things, other arenas. There's also some hardware replacement alternatives now. If your system's running slow, okay, you don't have to go out and say, gee, I got to replace it because I've got an old system and I can't find the old hardware. I was just amazed. There's a company that I've been, and I have no interest in this company other than I bought some stuff for an old system, called TradeLoop. They have over 4,700 used computer brokers in 79 countries. And if they don't have the part, it doesn't exist. And it's 10 cents on the dollar for the most part. You know, I know in some cases it may cost you more than the new one did. But for the most part, if you want to find an old control data disk drive to add to your old system somewhere, you can find these and they're like $50. Okay. And suddenly you can limp along for another 2 or 3 months. Once you've considered all these options, one of the things that I really, really think is very important is that you create a detailed project plan that reflects all of the resources required for implementations, timelines, and priorities. It's important you not underestimate the time, the cost, and resources that are needed to interface and integrate third-party products with your existing LIS. Or the same thing applies if you're planning to replace your existing LIS. You know, what I find is many times this step is performed after you've contracted for your services. And suddenly it's the oops factor. Oops, I didn't know that. And this is kind of examples. You know, so before you start doing your projects, I'm a firm believer in Murphy's Laws, you know, when it comes to any LIS project. In fact, as I thought, Murphy was an optimist. So I think it's important to remember Hal's three immutable laws of project planning. You know, the first one is the job always takes more than it takes. The second one, the first 90% of a project takes 90% of the time. And the last 10% also takes 90% of the time. And the most important one, with apologies to Dennis and a few others, you know, a consultant's recommendation is a systematic method of sometimes coming to the wrong conclusion with confidence. So, but you know, I think it's an example of what happens if you don't do appropriate pre-project planning. This is an actual project plan from a vendor, and the names have been changed to protect the not-so-innocent. when the user applied the actual resources to this vendor's project plan, required to accomplish the tasks that vendor said they needed to be done, what they found was that they needed 400% of their lab's employees to be available to do parallel runs. That's the oops factor. Okay. So, now, Dennis Winston recently published a list of reasons to justify keeping an LIS or replacing one. You know, so, and the question is, can you get a few more miles off that old system? You know, if it still works, it still meets your business needs, it has acceptable performance and reliability, the hardware is good, the support's good, you're happy with it, you've got some migration in terms of getting data out of your system, you can't afford the cost of replacement. I've never heard that. Okay. The system support is adequate. The vendor hasn't sunsetted it yet. And you can't have adequate in-house support if that does happen. And there are adequate supplemental applications to fill the gaps or conversions too risky. Then these are good reasons to seriously consider keeping what you got and keeping it going. Okay. So, do you say bye-bye and let it rest in peace? Well, Dennis also gave us some hints there. Yep. If your system is not performing and it can't be adequately supported, and the answers to these questions are in the affirmative, it can't support my business needs, I don't have any hardware support, the system keeps going down, and I can't keep it to stay up, there is no migration pathway left for me, and I can't find any third-party tools to keep adding on to it, my technology is so outmoded that I can't integrate with the strategies of my organization, there's inadequate capacity for growth, and I can't and I can within my budget afford to replace it, which more and more is not the case, and most important, there are well-proven systems that exist that can, in fact, accommodate what I'm currently doing as well as add new capabilities. I think most important is can accommodate what I'm doing already. Okay, and the vendor does have some proven track records for implementing, then maybe you can think about letting your old system gracefully grow to its appropriate resting place. Okay. So, what do you do with that aging lab system? Or, in my case, that drunken sailor? Well, let's hope your system has a few more miles on it. Or, in my case, a few more tunes, which isn't playing, but that's okay. So what I'd like to do at this point, I think it's time for the break. Is that correct? Okay, good. And then we'll start up after the break and with the next group. Thank you. Thanks.